Welcome to the Cairns Writes Podcast, home of science fiction, fantasy, and horror author Michael Cairns, me. If you like what you hear today, you can find more at cairnswrites.com and download free sci-fi novella, Childhood Dreams. In episode 14 of A Change of Status, Scarlett came out to Martin, which went surprisingly well. They also tracked down Lara, and that went, unsurprisingly, less well. She's been kidnapped by the crazies who, it turns out, are inspired by an old friend of Scarlett's from back in her Going to Hell days. A Change of Status, episode 15. Scarlett's heart sank and she laughed. Let me guess, does he live in a big castle in hell? Really pale guy, bad taste in clothes? Elk gave her a look, which would have been enigmatic even had he not been a unicorn. Yeah, maybe. Not been all that bother about visiting him, if I'm honest. Sneaky bastard traps people, offers them their wildest dreams. She'd have to ask Mum what he offered her. Or maybe not, it could quite easily be something completely gross. Scarlett turned to Martin, hands held up. What are the chances? I mean, really. This is no coincidence. He is forbidden to become directly involved, but dreams and visions are fair game. I have no doubt the Coven had this particular idea following our little visit. Damn it! He slammed his fist into an open palm. They have power, and he will be providing them with more all the time. This will not be easy. Like it was ever going to be easy, Scarlett replied. At least we know who we're fighting, and I won't mind the chance to stick my finger up at him again. Martin and Elt exchanged glances, and Martin shrugged. She's my apprentice. I couldn't be prouder. He was answered with that strange laughter from Elt, and she folded her arms, waiting for them to finish having their little chum in. God, Lara was being held by those guys. Why hadn't they expected something like this? It even warned them, told them that they'd made an enemy. Of course he was going to get even. She turned on Martin. Why weren't you ready for this? I'm sorry? The guy's a demon. Of course he was going to do something to us. Why weren't you ready? Why didn't you warn me? Joanna, I'm sorry. It didn't occur to me the two things could be linked. Didn't occur to you? How bloody convenient. Now Lara's in their clutches or whatever. God! Martin's brow creased and his voice dropped so Elt couldn't hear. You've only known her a day or so. You seem very attached. She's my girlfriend. Of course I'm attached. But after only a few days. She punched him as hard as she could on the arm, to which he responded with a raised eyebrow. Had he ever been in love? Yes, he had, so surely he understood. How'd you not get it? I do, really. It just seems very sudden, that's all. And what's wrong with that? What, did you and your wife spend a year umming and ahhing before deciding you loved one another? She winced as soon as she said it, and sure enough his face clouded over, eyes looking past her at something she couldn't see. She could imagine it, though. Stuff it, I'm sorry, really, I didn't mean, it's fine. Come on, we need to go. Didn't you need to prepare and stuff? He looked at her and she turned away, not willing to meet the pain in his eyes. I've got the spells, I've got the ingredients. There's nothing left to prepare. Come on. He stomped past her toward the park entrance and she followed, head down, feet dragging through the damp grass. Elt trotted beside her, speaking quietly. I might be imagining it, but did the two of you just have a tiff? Well, aren't you just bloody perceptive? Sod off. He raised his head, snorting, but moved away. The three of them made their separate ways to the exit and stood on the street outside. She didn't want to ask him anything, but she didn't have any choice. So where's the grave, then? He was silent, and she thought for a minute he wasn't going to talk to her. Mum did that sometimes, the silent treatment. It was great when she did it, but with Martin it really wasn't. Look, there is a graveyard in Acton, just behind the main road. Apparently the grave is there, unmarked and unnoticed. This was even worse. There's a lack of communication about stuff. She bit her lip, thought about punching him again, but opted not to. There was the chance he'd retaliate, and she was just beginning to like her face. Well, Lara was, which was almost as good. Just thinking about Lara made her stomach turn. What were they doing to her? She walked away from the others and pulled the necklace on. The voices started up straight away. It was like they were waiting for her to put it on. though she was getting the sense that the charm was just saving the bits about her. "We have her girlfriend." "And you're sure that will stop her?" "Either that, or she will search pointlessly for her. What it will do is keep her busy when she should be trying to stop us." "Bring the girlfriend here. Brother Lost is struggling to find us another blood sacrifice, and she should do just perfectly." She yanked it off, wondering why she'd put it on in the first place. So now Laura was going to be sacrificed. She clenched her fists together, staring at Martin, who was, she realised, watching her. He nodded at the necklace clutched in her hand. "Anything useful?" She shook her head, biting her lip again. They already knew what they had to do. He nodded and looked past her at the unicorn. That was communication, of a sort. At least he wasn't trying to protect her, like he had in the market. At least he still had some respect. "I don't think you should come, Joanna. This is dangerous. Far more dangerous than what? Going to hell? Facing the council? Really? Stop it. You can't protect me all the time, and I need to learn. So just shut up." The slightest of smiles slipped across his face before he nodded and turned to Elt. "Can you carry us?" The unicorn lowered himself and they clambered on, Scarlet sitting behind and wrapping her arms around his waist. Elt broke into a trot, hooves loud on the cobbles of Harrow, but as he sped up the sound faded and the buildings blurred. Moments later they slowed and she blinked at the massive graveyard that lay the other side of a high black wrought iron fence. How did he do that? Could he travel over water? She could be in New York before she knew it, meeting famous people and riding in yellow cabs. She had to check once this was over. It was a huge place, a path of uneven stone, broken where grass had forced its way up through the gaps, ran straight from the entrance until it reached a small wooden hut. The hut sat within a circle of stone and bore a thatched roof. The path continued behind it to an ancient church, clinging to the ground like an alky on his last legs, ready to collapse at any moment. The graves were packed in tight and ran around both sides of the church. The cult people had to be behind it, or maybe not here yet. She checked her watch and did a double take. Time had passed while Elt was travelling. Either that, or they'd spent much longer in the park than she thought. It was 3 PM and the sun would be gone soon. The thought of being in here in the dark made her shiver, which was plain stupid. It wasn't like the dark was going to be worse than the creepy guys with knives. Martin swung down, then offered her his hand. She tried to make eye contact, but he was still avoiding her gaze, and she sniffed as she scrambled down. Elt went ahead, cramming himself through the gate, while she stared at the long rows of fir trees that ran down both sides of the graveyard. She shivered again as she stepped in. It felt old, and where graveyards normally felt lonely, this one was busy, the sighs of the dead rising to meet her. God, it was like hell all over again. What was it with the Stephen King monologues? She couldn't help shivering, though, and she kept to the middle of the path. They had nearly reached the wooden hut when 3 men, clad in black and bearing knives, stepped out from behind it. The nearest gave her a grin she recognised all too well, before turning to Martin. "I thought putting my knife in your back would have been warning enough, old man. Apparently not. Still, I'm happy to do it again."
Thanks for listening. If you liked what you heard, you can find more at cairnswrites.com and come back in a week for the next episode. You can also find me on Pinterest, Facebook, Goodreads and Twitter, or email me at michael@cairnswrites.com.